Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على صلاة. هيا على صلاة.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah alladhi anzala alayna kitabu mubin. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وَبَعَثَ نَبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. We bear open and sound testimony that Muhammad is his messenger. I believe I missed one. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدُهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no object of worship except Allah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we bear open and sound testimony that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant, his last and final prophet. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله, and upon his family, وصحبه, and upon his companions, أجمعين, all of them. ويا أيها المسلمون, and to you, O Muslims, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أما بعد, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا والنساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the first verse of the fourth surah of the Quran, Surah An-Nisa. O social creature, be regardful of your guardian evolver, the one who formed you from a single spiritual essence and formed from it its mate, and commissioned from among the two of them men and women innumerable. And be regardful of Allah, the one whom you ask, whom you implore for your mutual rights, and have sacred regard for the relationships, for surely Allah is ever over you, watching as a supervisor. صدق الله العظيم. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, he was asked, when was prophethood established for you? That is, when was the fact that you were going to be a prophet established for you? He said, it was while Adam was between soul and body. And actually the Arabic says, وَعَدَمَا بَيْنَ رُحْي وَجَسَدَ, when he was between spirit and body. So there's conversation can be had about that. But the point is before the soul came into the body. Before the soul came into the body. And not just the soul to speak of all of us, but he's saying Adam, who is our ultimate progenitor, as identified the first, before he came into that form that we call the human being. Let me go ahead and give a bit of it. I must admit, it's like, even though it's evident that I'm pretty late today, mashallah, it is as Allah has allowed it to be. But I've always, when I say always, many times I want to share this report from the Prophet about having to wait, especially for Jummah. It's really critical. Let me go on with it. And that is, and I'm saying this in utter humility, and I pray Allah protect me from self-justification or anything like that. It's Allah's will is over everything. It doesn't matter what our plan is. It's going to be what Allah intends for it to be. Whatever. That's just how it is, right? So what do you do in those spaces and times? Remember, there are many things, but the one I really want to get to, I'm going to go ahead and say the main thing first. Do you know when it's time for Jummah and the call has been made? There are two calls for Jummah. There's one that most of us are not here for, and then the one that we hear is the second one, right? And so when you're coming in for Jummah, the angels are at the door recording the arrivals. The angels are, the book is open, and it's recorded for you. Okay, they're at Jummah. But when the imam stands up to start the khutbah, the angels close the book. And they go in to listen to the reminder. So what does that say about not being there before the imam stands up to give the khutbah? It's like you're not getting no credit for it. So, okay, well, we know he's going to be a little late, so I ain't got to be there at 1:30. You know what I'm saying? Because if I come at that time, I mean, he's going to go an hour. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, ooh, come on. See, that's that Negro spirit. Watch out for it. Keep the Muslim in charge. Right? And that, in that report, it also says, the one who arrives early, it's as though he sacrificed a camel. So you get credit for sacrificing a camel. Not only are you showing up and you're getting recorded, but you're getting camel credit. And the one who comes after that, they get cow credit. And the one who comes after that, they get ram credit. And the one who comes, this is all before the imam stands up to speak. The one who comes after that, they get what I got. I got camels, cows, rams, chickens. You get chicken credit. And the one who comes after that, just before the book is closed, you get egg credit. You get credit for, like, you sacrificed the egg. And when the adhan is given, and now you're waiting for the imam to deliver, or the iqama, whatever the case may be. It may be a regular prayer between those two. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said through the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says that there's a space and time when Allah answers all dua. This is one of the many places. And it's between the adhan and the iqama. So it's like, you want to be in a place where you're making dua. So the other thing is that you don't need to be talking about the Warriors losing streak, who won the midterm elections. Wait. You're not taking the greatest benefit of that space. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, whoever in waiting for the salat, and if they have only in their mind the service and the favor and the worship of Allah, then for every moment that they wait is the forgiveness of sins. So, don't waste your time. You know what I'm saying? My other part. Believe it or not, there's going to be an addition to the reminder that I'm giving you now. I left the house late, so therefore traffic must have been different. Because, man, it's like everything that would normally flow, it's like a movie setup, you know, saying, okay, well, let's stop him here. Okay, we know he's going to go over here. Okay, let's stop him here. And now this cat going to drive slow like he don't know where he want to go. So it was all I could do to just woosah. You know, just and remember, it's all in Allah's doing. I'm saying, okay, well, maybe Allah is just holding you up because there's a very particular moment at some time in the future that He wants you to be at that space, at that time, in that moment. And if you move 5 seconds faster, what He wants is not going to happen. So He slows you down. It's His plan. Last thing on that, inshallah. That's a dangerous thing when I say last thing. So, you remember the 100 we told you about? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. That is, la ilaha illallah, there's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah wahdahu, the singular, no partners. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahul mulk, His is the kingdom. Lahul hamd, His is the praise. Wahuwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And He has power over all things. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you say that 100 times in a day, there is a forgiveness of 100 sins, a granting of 100 merits, and you get the reward as though you freed 10 slaves. I know I'm missing one, but that might be enough to just be reminded that you're getting credit for 10 slaves, for freeing 10 slaves, 100 merits, and the elimination of 100 demerits from your, just for saying that. And according to my record of it, it takes maybe a little less than 10 minutes. It might be a little less than that. What I'm saying is that that's another way to use your waiting time to get the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to thinking about something else in this world. Okay, so just thought I'd share that, okay? While apologizing for being late, good adapt dictates that. Anyway. All right. So today is the fourth part of the self. Most of you here, you know the background and why we're pursuing this subject. Anybody who's hearing this that doesn't understand why this choice of subject, then look to our archives and you can get the background. But I need to go on. So one of the first things that we spoke of last week, this kanafsan or nafsan wahidatan, that's the heart of it. The subject is the self. The subject is the self. The subject is the identity, okay? And that self has to do with the soul. And so nafsan wahida, no matter how separate we look, all of us come from one soul. And I gave the analogy last week of the apple seed. the apple seed. When you think about all the apples in the world, all the apples in the world, even past and future, they all come from wherever or whenever was the first apple seed, period. So right now, no matter how many apple seeds there are in the world, they all have their origination in whatever and whenever was the first apple seed. Okay, so that's an analogy for us. And it's critical going forward and to understand that everything in creation is a sign. Everything in creation is a sign. Understand that Allah created the creation as a book. Okay? That's grasped by those who've given us and the world having accepted the label for it as universe. Quranic words are called ayah. Heavenly bodies and phenomena are called ayahs. So there's an analogy between the ayah, analogy between the forms in creation and the letters in the book. So that is one of the reasons that we should understand. In fact, God also says in the Quran, he says, one day the universe is going to be rolled up like a book, like a scroll. So there's God telling you, look, the thing is a book. All right? So, but now, when I read the textbook, let's say I read a textbook and I'm reading about whales. When this idea first come to mind, whale was the image that I got. Okay, so I'm looking at the textbook, I'm reading about whales. Is that I'm reading about in the textbook, is that whale image that I see on the page, is that a real whale? No, it's an archetype, or rather a type, an icon of a whale. To what? Let me know what it really is out there in the world. The idea is everything that Allah has created as a sign, and when Allah says in the first of the revelations, the last revelation, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, he's telling us to read, but read what? Quran wasn't here. You read what? Read the creation. Read the creation. Okay, but then if the creation is a textbook then, and everything that I'm reading is a sign, then there's a reality somewhere else. Rewind. Textbook, there's a whale. Is that a real whale? No, but it's an image, a representation of a real whale. Well, then you have to go somewhere else to see a real whale. So the ayah of creation is pointing to something that you don't see. Okay. And I'm saying to you, that's true for the whole book. It's true for the whole book. So what the book is telling us about is a reality that you can't see. You read something, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. To the end. Okay. Now what do? You read it. You translated it. What do you do now? What is it talking about? If the abstract whale on the page is pointed to the real whale somewhere else, well then the words on the page of nafsun wahida, zawjaha, batha minhuma rijala kathira wa nisa, it's also pointing to something else. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the something else. We're talking about what, because the guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed it not for us to just say we learned it and know it from in the textbook. He wants us to use it for guidance in your life. You're alive in a world that he created, in a body that he created,
in a trial that he created. And you only got a little time, let me tell you. I'm telling you, every time I get a little glitchy, but sometimes my temple has a little strike in it, like, it's like, oh, shoot. That could have been a stroke, or that could have.
Right.
Well, see, my young people, y'all don't have them kind of worries, I pray. You good. But let me tell you, that clock moved real fast. Trust that. I can think about some mischief I made when I was your age in elementary school. You don't want to hear about it. The point is that it goes real fast. All right. So that being the case, then God is saying, look, I'm giving you this so you can read it, act on it, and have the best life here no matter how short it is, because it's a whole lot longer after you pass through that door. And you prepare yourself for the passing through the door in the short period of time that you're here. So let's move on. Since we're on a short period of time, let's move on. So then let's go ahead and talk about the something else. That's what I'm saying. I want you to level up in terms of how you listen to what I'm saying. Get off the concrete right now. Get off the concrete right now. What we've read is the textbook. Now we want to go and look at that unseen thing that the textbook is talking about. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. So the nafs wahida is nowhere on earth because there is no earth. Don't think about it as an earthly matter now. Think about it as an original matter. Think about it as an unprecedented first time beginning of the actualization of the plan of Allah for our present existence. This is before the Big Bang, which we already exist. 172, we talked about, drawing forth from the soul of the descendants of the children of Adam, am I not your Lord? Yea, this lest you say in the judgment of this we were never mindful. God said, look, we already talked. Okay? And so this Nefsun Wahida is the beginning, is the first apple seed. And inside of that Nefsun Wahida, Here's the flip for our thinking. Inside of the Nafsun Wahida, which is the beginning of Allah's intention for creation, and is connected with the Inni Ja'ilu fil Ardi Khalifa. I am making in the earth a Khalifa. But there's the prerequisites for that to be fulfilled. Something has to happen before that can be realized and actualized. And so likewise, when Allah says, خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةً, and listen, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. So there's نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةً, and Allah went into, and I'm just expressing it this way, Allah went into the نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةً to bring out its mate. خَلَقَ مِنْهَا, it created from it, its mate. So Allah created a mate for Nafsun Wahida out of Nafsun Wahida. Don't push back on that, because if you haven't ever thought about this, and I think there might be one person in the room that thought about this, mashallah, Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. I don't know, but I know it's, you got to go some to get to the point where you even think about that. So when you understand, God said he created Nafsun Wahida, and then he created from it, minha, from it, its mate. Now you have to understand that out of the Nafsun Wahida is its mate. And then he says, from the two of them, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا, from the two of them. So those two get together. خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ, pardon me, وَبَثَّ. And he commissioned, he raised, he spread out from them. Bestha min huma, huma, huma. That means two of them. Nafsun wahida, zawjaha min huma. The two of them got together, huh? And from the two of them, countless men and women. So the Nafsun Wahida wasn't a man or a woman, and the Zawjaha wasn't a man or a woman. Because it's from the two of them that you got the man and women. This is logic. Zakir in nafa'ati dhikr, Quran says. Think, because that's how you make progress, by thinking. So, nafsun wahida khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathira wa nisaa. So that's where we are right now. And this nafsun wahida was pre-material creation, pre-universe, pre-Big Bang, blah blah. This is where we are. Nafsun wahida, out of it, its mate, then the mate and the nafsun wahida get together, and from them they produce. Now, remember what I said about ayahs, how the creation is a sign. Let me use Abraham. So you start at the place where Abraham said, God, how will the resurrection be? Let's take a breath and go slow. If you, I can move faster when I got a sense that you're riding with me. You're right there. You haven't fallen out the car or anything. You with me. So, he said, how will the resurrection be? And God said, what? Is you don't believe? Some of you serious students, you should make a note of the significance of signs. I'm not talking tarot cards, I'm not talking tea leaves, I'm not talking palm reading, I'm not talking astrology, I'm not talking that. I'm talking about ayahs and the textbook that is creation. So, what is it? I mentioned that at that point in time, got to tell you this. We talked about thinking. You left brain, right brain, aware people. Don't lock in on right lobe, left lobe, just right. Just lock in on there's a duality of types of thinking that it takes both of them together. It sounds like minha zawjaha. Takes both of them together to get the correct picture. So, right brain has much more. I'm talking about functionality. Don't worry about lobes. Just think about the fact that it's a way of understanding. Right brain is much more focused on the whole. The left brain is much more focused on the part. So when you have both of them together, okay, now you got the whole picture. One is more focused on the abstract, and the other is more focused on the concrete. You have to have both of them. All right, I say that here because if you don't believe in signs, you can't be guided. And it's the right brain, quote unquote, that, whatever, symbol, whatever you want to call it. It's the right brain that much more grasps signs. The left brain is the so-called logic, language, you know, much more concrete. Right brain, more abstract. I'm saying that because if you want to understand kufr, you understand kufr, disbelief. The heart of disbelief is not believing in signs. Oh, that's a sign. Oh, man, you crazy, man. No, you have to believe in signs. How else does God guide you? What do you think? You think God going to, quote unquote, tap you on your shoulder? Hey, Fahim, man, now you know the plan wasn't for you to be like that. No. He speaks to you through signs. And that's what taqwa is about. Taqwa is about being in a state of mind that is sign conscious. Ghafilin is to go along unmindful. Taqwa is being awake, aware, sensitive. You want to go biological? Reticular activating system. It's the reticular activating system that tells you what is important. Let's get him. Come on, Fahim. Let's back up. So, where were we at? Abraham. They said, what is it? You don't believe? So that belief is, you have to believe in signs of God. I'm saying now, if you don't believe, I can't help you. So he asked Abraham, what is it? You don't believe? What? Is it that he didn't know? Sure. Allah, that's for us. That's God telling Abraham is on top of the whole thing. So God's using him as a sign for us to understand, you want to roll, you got to roll like Abraham. Do you ask questions? You better. You don't understand it? I don't get it. It's not that my heart ain't with it. I don't get it. Right? So God did what? Gave him a sign. In the form of an assignment. Yeah, work with it. So he gave it, and then when he fulfilled his assignment, and it's always beautiful to me that all that happened in one ayah. It's like, I mean, really, when you think about that, it's kind of like a whole, not kind of like, it's a whole story in one ayah, 260. One ayah, the forebears, everything that God and Abraham interacted on and what he did, all in one ayah. That's just tremendously beautiful to me, mashallah. And then right after that is a surah about zakat and self-development and growth and all of that. 2261. But so he told him, take four birds, different interpretations, put them on the hill. Oh, train them to respond to you. Put them on the hill, call them, and you see them flying back to you. Allah didn't even put in the book, Abraham said, I understand. He didn't even put that in there. To let us know, it's like, look, alhamdulillah. Look, when God tells you something, quote unquote, through his signs, what's this, what does that say? It's not even, and it didn't even end with, a little humor, it didn't even end with, any questions? Allah didn't ask any questions, because God knows that, look, if I give you something, you understand it, you don't even imagine asking a question. So the creation is filled with signs. Ya ayyuhalladhina aminu taqullah. Be regardful of Allah. Taqullah wa yu'alimukumullah. Have this awareness of Allah, because he's always teaching. Not sometimes. Because sometimes you might miss them, because sometimes you see. No. Allah is always teaching. But are you in class? Okay? I'm saying that to say, and I have to give honor, due honor and respect and regard to Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. Trust me, dear brothers and sisters, it is what it is today. I already told you about what God do. God does what he do. I'm not saying I'm God. I'm just saying I'm really kind of open. I feel something coming through. The idea is, you don't have conversations of this caliber without what Imam Muhammad gave. You just don't have it. There are other things that are good, sound, popular, etc. And I'm not, I ain't talking about, no, I understand. I love you, don't even trip. I'm always happy. Always happy to see you. Oh, it gives my heart joy to see you. We have a shared heritage. I'm talking to somebody particular. I ain't talking to all y'all in that moment, but I want to shoot that arrow to that heart so they know. Nothing about that. So just be clear. You hear me? Yeah, I'm there. So in the context of that acknowledgement, the Imam gives us one concept that makes it easy to keep moving in the direction I'm moving. Right now, with this thought, creation supported social logic. It's just four. Remember those words, CSSL. Creation supported social logic. What does it mean? It means, okay, you want to solve a problem. You want to deal with an issue. You want to explain something in the life that you're living on earth, three-dimensional space and time. You want to understand something. Remember God's textbook. God's textbook is the creation. Turn to the chapter that relates to what you're talking about. Yeah, in the creation, there are chapters for anything you're having to deal with. It don't matter. Family, turn to that chapter. Business, turn to that chapter. Wallahi. Let's move on to give you my explicit example for what? Nafsun wahida khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan kathira wa nisa. First there's nafsun wahida, but the potential for its mate is inside of nafsun wahida. Allah created out of it, took that potential out, made it into a reality, and combined those two, and then there's a product from those two that was the original qada, the original decree of Allah, inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, I'm going to make men and women because I have a further project for them to fulfill on the earth that can only be fulfilled in separate bodies. And then I bring those bodies back together and my process continues. What is it? Somebody might need to be held down right now. You got to hold them down. It's a butterfly. It's a butterfly. Everything I said, you can see it in a butterfly. Butterfly egg, larvae, caterpillar. Chomp, 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 chomp. Caterpillar eats, 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 and then it stops. And at some point, it begins to spin a cocoon. Where did a cocoon come from? It's not like a bird building a nest. It came out of the caterpillar. The womb for the caterpillar, the womb for the butterfly, came out of the caterpillar. And you want to know something else? In the cocoon, that caterpillar disappears, liquefies. Liquid in the cocoon. And then the liquid transforms into a butterfly. You ever heard that story? If you see a butterfly struggling to get out of a cocoon, don't help it. فَإِنَّمَا لُعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Because with the difficulty comes the ease. So if you give somebody too much help, you ain't helping them, you're hurting them. Because the pressure, just like a baby coming out of the womb, that pressure presses out of the lungs for the baby, presses the liquid out of the lungs, one of the things. And for the butterfly, it gives wing strength and it also helps the capillaries that are going to be developed so that the wings can be strong. So you can take the caterpillar as the nafsun wahida for this analogy. And then khalaqa minha, the cocoon, as the womb. Zawjaha. And now the womb and the caterpillar together form the life, and the womb, and then out of it comes another life, butterfly. All right. What does that say for us? We should understand that this big universe called macrocosm was created in order to become the mate for nafsun wahidatin. And there's a four, people who are ready, I'll just mention it because, I mean, you're only going to go and you only should go where you have an interest in going, you have something to benefit from as you go there. The philosophers of this world, scientific philosophers of this world, they talk about idealism. I'm not going to go into it. But the idea that we just stated, that we say is supported by the Quranic statement that we read, is that yes, the unseen came before the seen. The abstract came before the concrete. That's what this is saying. And so the universe was created to be a womb to bring forth that life, which is you and me right now. We're talking about the self. God says, they make similitudes for God, but forget their own creation. So somebody stops you on the street, and they just ask you, how were you created? How did you come into being? Could you answer that question? As a general rule, no. It's just not something that you just automatically know unless you have really, really learned and grasped it and held it. And I'm saying that when we talk about Adam and we talk about Adam's slip, etc., what's the main problem for Adam? The main problem for Adam is that he forgot. That's the thing. He forgot. And even today, in the hadith that I mentioned to you as I close, the Prophet said the angels go in to listen to the reminder. It's where you're supposed to get your mind back. It don't take but a week to lose your mind. It don't even take that long. You can see one headline, oh, where am I? You know what I'm saying? It's like, we need Juma. As a reminder. Okay? So, concluding this. We are spiritual, quote unquote, spiritual, abstract beings. You and I are little nests inside of bodies. Bodies that were created from a creation that was created for the purpose of embodying our share of nafsun wahida. I am a little universe. You are a little universe. And Allah meant for it to be that way. And what is in the big universe is also in you. Not materially. Elementally, yeah, you know, protons, electrons, neutrons, galactic dust, all that. Yeah, that's there. But I'm not looking inside of you for Helios. I'm not looking for the sun inside your head or the moon inside your head or my head. No. But the information that is in that is in each one of us. Allama Adam ala asma'a kullaha. That's God's way of telling us that everything about, that all the information in the nature of creation is in every one of us. All of the information about the nature of creation is in all of us. Let's go one more time. All the information that's in all of the creation is in each one of us. And I say to you again, Read the signs. Read the ayah. That is what actually, Allahu alam, what actually God is telling us when He said, "Allama Adam al-asma'a kullaha." We taught Adam the knowledge of the nature of all things. You can make Adam nefsun wahida, and you can make yourself the child of Adam, an expression of that Adam. All the information that's in all of that is in all of us. Allah Akbar. Hey, but you got to believe that. Oh man, that's heavy stuff. I never heard it put like that, man. That's some heavy stuff. But do you believe it? This ain't no rap. This is your life. This is your life. Ask yourself, have you ever heard that before? If you've never heard it before, and it's true, you got to get with it. Because that's where your power is. That's the gift of God to you to operate in your life as long as you have breath in your body.
رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. الله أكبر. Yes, sir. No. Oh, good to see you.
I'm having a battery change. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين please don't underestimate yourself. I think it's important for all of us to understand that the world has worked to deprive us of that kind of faith in ourselves. They worked for 400 years and more to deprive people that look like us in believing that there's anything in us of value. They used all the institutions at their avail, every possible way, including Disneyland. Come on. I just got to hit you with that so you don't sleep on it. To get you to have doubts about you. How dare you make a black Little Mermaid? Everybody knows Little Mermaid is white. All right, it takes so much control. Believe it or not, I am using a little bit of control. Let's move on. Let me give you some real life examples of what we're talking about that has happened. We're trying to understand ourselves in relationship to God and the nature of creation. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who creates originally and then repeats. He points that out as, who does this? Nobody does this but me, Allah. I'm the one who originates, and then I repeat it. So in that same logic, the Imam says, if you want to know how God did it the first time, look at how it's being done now. Because everything is a repeat of the first thing. Don't take that to, yeah, I remember in my previous life I was a horse or something like that, you know. We're not talking about that at all. Okay. But let's move on. So, nafsan wahida khalaqa minha zawjaha
وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء.
That's just a principle. That's a formula that's just operating. Do we see it repeated? It is that Allah decreed that there's going to be human beings. And that those human beings were in his decree from the beginning. But the completion of and the fulfillment of that decree had some prerequisites. It needed a mate. So he created a mate. And God says in the Quran, he says, is your creation harder or is the universe harder to create? That's what God said. Which one is harder? Come on now. Making that baby wasn't hard. Now for sisters, now it's another thing. That's not the making, that's the delivering, right? You know what I'm saying? The pizza gets made, then it's got to be delivered, right? I got to leave that alone. There's so many places I can go with that. But it was fun when we were making the pizza. Now, delivery, see, man, that's why we owe the women so much. Do you understand that a woman risks her life every time she decides to have, especially a vaginal birth? She risks her life. And it feels like she's dying. They had to put me out. That one's when she was born. They had to put me out the at the delivery room. You, at one time, you could be there, but I was an FOI, and that wasn't so good when you know you're in the devil's hospital and you baby. And then I don't want to bring back the pain on the other part. But they made a move that they said was necessary in order to deliver it. And I said, what you doing? I said, get him out of here. And so it's like, you see your wife transmogrifying. You know, it's like a Spielberg thing, man. It's like, it's like, oh, baby, you know what I'm saying? So I'm saying, look, guys, we get off rather easy in that deal. Now, the other part, now, that's our job. Come on. After it's been delivered, now you got to do that for the rest of their life as required. Okay, where was I? Okay. So, real life examples. The point is, you can have an idea. Let's do it like this. You can have an idea, but you can't realize that idea without a mechanism to bring that idea into the transduced form. So you have an idea, but you don't get from abstract to concrete without an intermediary process. Nafsun wahida, khalaqa minha zawja, universe. God's plan for the human being creates the universe as the cocoon for the human being. Stay with me on that. The universe is the cocoon for the human being. The human being is embedded in the nature of creation. And then all over epochal, E-P-O-C-H-A-L, time, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he created us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَنْبَتُكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتٍ. Allah said, I created you growing out of the earth like a plant. Okay? So, literally, Allah's intention for the human being, Allah's plan for the human being, was embedded in the material creation. There's a whole paragraph of material that we read from the Imam, but we're not going to do it today. The point is to understand that we're placed there, and over all these epochs of time, tens of millions of years, now finally we come into this form right here. What's the illustration? You all know the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena. King Richard had a plan before they were born to produce tennis aces. See the documentary. They were even alive. Mama wasn't even pregnant with them. They were just an idea in his head and in his heart. And he wrote a 75-page plan for them before they were born for them to break into this industry that we were woefully absent in and to be tennis champions. Not just play and make some money as pros, but to change the game. So he had his idea, he had his plan. Now he needs a womb.
Come on, man.
Without mama, it's all for naught. So his plan is what we're saying, Nefsun Wahida. His wife is Zawjaha. His idea called for a womb to produce the object of his plan. And so he and the wife got together and produced the baby. Then his plan, continuing, he had them in the cocoon of his idea. And so in 1980, Venus Williams was born, and she became U.S. Open champion 1997. Serena Williams, born 1981, she became U.S. Open champion 1999. That was the realization, the actualization of the idea that was in the mind of Richard Williams, which he couldn't have done without a womb to produce the quote-unquote subjects and objects of his plan. I'm saying to you, it's the same way with us. Allah planned to create us as human beings. I really want you to get, the universe is your womb. And the very fact that you're standing up alive, conscious, minded individuals, individuals with minds, also actualizes that universe in you by nature. That's Quran 2, 33. I'm almost done. I know I was late. Almost done. 30-30, فِتَّةُ اللَّهِ لَتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. God comes back and tells us in that verse, understand, I made you on the pattern of this universe. That's what he's telling us in 30-30. Who you are is a reflection, a reproduction, a small model of the universe which was your womb that you came out of, but you preceded the universe that you came out of in my qada, in my decree. Prophet Muhammad, I just got to remind you, I don't want to lose you. He said, when was prophethood ordered for you? He says, when Adam was between spirit and body. Are we not, 7-172, we are the from the loin of the descendants of the children of Adam. So, before Adam was, oh man, I'm back into the Bible. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Okay. So the point is, we had an abstract existence before we had a physical existence, and our abstract existence carries the plan of God and the totality of information in creation, and that reality, the very fact that I'm alive and standing here right now, I'm a walking universe. But it's all subliminal. The growth of al-Islam is to grow your awareness of that nature, and when it grows, now it becomes accessible to you. And you'll begin to have power in this creation that they fantasize for us in the Marvel movies and vibranium and all that kind of stuff. That's good. Hey, they get you looking for it in fantasy land. When you are it in reality. Okay. One more example, and I'll just keep it, you can look it up. That same thing was done with Venus and Serena. Same thing was done by for the Polgar sisters. Look up Laszlo Polgar. He was just like Richard Williams. Before his daughters were born, they were Judith, Sophia, and Susan. There were no chess champions in the world, in the whole history of chess champions, that were women. He said, that shouldn't be so, because we all have the same nature. All they have to do is be raised right, in the right environment, right conditions, according to the right plan and process, and they too can be chess champions. And he did for his three daughters in chess what Richard Williams did for his two daughters in tennis. But his wife had to be a part of the plan. Okay? So, dear brothers and sisters, just understand the greatness that you are by nature. And believe it or not, this is not the end of the self issue. It could be. I don't know, and it might be. So let us don't underestimate the nature of your creation. I mean, really. Actually, to do so is to be ungrateful. To be ungrateful. Allah said, I did all this in you. I did all this for you. I created the entire universe. And I allowed you to come into existence. And I left you free to do whatever you choose to do with this free will that I made possible for you and not for other things in creation. And you're going to use it for other than my service and my plan? Not only that, you're going to turn around and say, I don't exist! How dare you? That's the sin that's being created, being done, the shortcoming, if you will, in this world. You think you're so damn smart that there is no God. Allow me one indulgent anecdote. You remember that Challenger explosion? In that Challenger explosion, that was God saying, what was her name? Krista McCullough? Christ. Go back and look for some of the pictures of the explosion. And you'll see that there was a cross-like cloud formed from the explosion. And I believe it happened, and I don't hold me to this part. It's possible. In 1 minute and 12 seconds into the flight. I'm not certain on that part. But if it was, then we're at Surat al-Ikhlas. See, you're trying to put your Christ in heaven. But the Quran says they find their rockets casting against them. Trying to steal a hearing, right? The point is there was arrogance involved in that whole process. And Satan tries to sit himself in heaven as God. That's what the symbolism would have been able to say to those on the ground that want to rule the people. So God said, nah, it's not happening. Rabbana la ilaha illallah wahduhu la sharika lah lahul mulku lahul hamd yuhyi wa yumeet bi yariyil khayr وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم
وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. O Allah, we are humbly grateful. O Allah, we are without any good but that that you provide for us. O Allah, we are without any value except the value that you have instilled in us. O Allah, make us grateful, appreciative, aware, honoring what you have done in us and what you have done in the creation and the favor that you have given us in our very existence. O Allah, bless us to discover your gift in each and every one of us. O Allah, bless us to bring it out, realize it, actualize it, never doubt it, because we know you have endowed us with what only you can endow us with. O Allah, give us the strength and the capacity and the awareness to reach into the nature that you have given us and to become more and more and more conscious of it and put it to work for your sake in this world. O Allah, make us among the doubtless. 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 We ask this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. Wa akim as.
All right, everybody, listen. The propagators, they have a question to ask. Here it goes.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
We are
the servants of Almighty God.
That's who we are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rasulullah de Brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakat. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for Universal Dimension Leadership. We just broadcast yesterday's recording of Live Jumar from Master War theme, part four of the self under the broader heading of the five obligations for building Ummah. Alhamdulillah, and as always, we want to hear from you. One more time around with the ground rules. You know, I used to be a part of Toastmasters when I worked for the City of Oakland ages ago. I stopped working for the City of Oakland in 1989, that big earthquake that we had, yeah, the last one. But I was part of Toastmasters before that. You know, when you do Toastmasters, there are different roles that you play in the Toastmasters meeting. All of it's designed to help you know how to manage and be a part of, you know, public meetings and those kinds of social settings, you know, like Rotary Club-ish kind of stuff. And so Hot Topics is one of the elements of it. In Hot Topics, you are assigned to do a 90-second presentation. That was called a Hot Topic. And a speech for Toastmasters was actually 5 minutes. So you do 5 minutes, that's a speech. So if you approach in timing like that, you're actually giving a speech. Hot Topics, you're actually giving a topic, but that's like 90 seconds. What I've set a kind of boundary, and I apply this to everyone. Okay, maximize. I know much of what we say, it does generate feeling, energy, I hope. And I know it does, mashallah. I mean, it's no boast. It's not about me. It's about us being in touch with this truth that is always in us. And then when we get connected with it, we recognize it. There's a lot that you want to say. I bear witness. I understand. So it's really difficult for me to cut people off once they get going here on the platform. But usually I do have something more to add when I come. So I put an outer limit of 3 minutes on the presentation, and that's between the public speaking training standards of hot topics and speeches. So it's going to be the clear understanding standard. Maximum of 3 minutes, okay? Have that in mind, but I mean, don't hesitate. And if you feel that drive really, 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 really strong, maybe you should start a blog and listen to what I'm saying. I've told many people to do that. If everybody has something to say, and you have a tribe, you have a vibe in the context of what's driving you, and you'll be surprised to know that there are many others that share your particular perspective, your particular way of seeing and way of addressing things. And so you should start your own platform. Take a little courage if that's what it requires for you. You step out there and do it. You can start your own platform. It's good. Now, please, anybody that want to make that like a shade comment, it's not a shade comment. It's like, man, we need people talking about what we're talking about all over the world, 24 hours a day, because we're trying to bring about a change in the world. So only people who are still suffering negrosis so much will take that in the wrong way, and I can't help you right now. But I'm going to continue to try to help you. But beyond that, I can't help you. All right, I said what I'm going to say on that. 215, is this a Philly number?
Yes, sir. I'm Lakin' Brother Emmanuel's brother, Dante.
Hey, Dante, what's going on, bro?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, man. Always in pursuit of happiness.
There you go. Hey, go get it.
So, I just wanted a comment and then a statement, I guess. Just for everybody that's on this call, I just cannot, overemphasize the thankfulness and the gratefulness that I have for what Allah has blessed you with from the Imam and how you share it and give it to us, because I'm in Virginia, I go to a mosque, the Syrian community or whatever, and it's like like you said, you can only get it here. We don't get it nowhere else. And I thank you thank Allah for the platform to be able to hear you, and receive what you have for us. And the other thing is, like, I can't even imagine what it's like for you, because I know you give us so much, how are you able to discipline yourself from wanting to give us more in the time that we have. Because you care so much about us and wanted us to think. With the little things that Allah blessed me with and I want to share, I can't even imagine what it's like for you on a daily basis when you come into what you come into to want to give to us. And then the last thing was just about the seed. And I thought about, the word planet. So, planet, we live on a planet, which is like a seed. And then you talked about Venus and Serena's father planting it.
Yeah.
And then we are a seed, and then we plant it. And with the expectation of it coming to fruition, even though it already has in it the fruition, as long as we stay on the natural path. And that's what Allah gave me. And I hope that I'm on point with it. That's all
you
I got, brother.
On,
man, thank you,
you
so
are
much.
On point. You are on point. I mean, that's it. And the thing that whether it be explicit or tacitly, I want to punch it up and kind of weld it in for you. That is that process of walking through that and seeing things that way. That is the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. You see what I'm saying? It's like other people won't even go down that road. He was like, it's nothing bad. Now, that doesn't mean anything. It just kind of sounds like something. But, it's no big deal, right? So, okay, well, therefore, you lose. So we go on, right? And so, and that's what
absolutely
the Imam Rahimahullah opened up for us. And mashallah. So yeah, that's beautiful, perfect, and that's correct. And I want to reinforce for you also. Scientifically speaking, I really want, and I know you get this, just for everybody else as well, when we talk about the Higgs boson, right, the Higgs boson, when we talk about quantum physics and blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
they talk about the Higgs boson and the field. They talk about it as a mechanism. And usually when we think about mechanisms, we think about things like watches and car engines and things that have moving parts. Right? That's when we think that that's a mechanism. No, a plan is a mechanism. A plan is a mechanism because it's the means by which when you, I got to call it, ideationally or mentation, or when you think about or cogitate on the items in the plan and then execute them in three-dimensional space, that's how it gets transferred from the page, if it's a written thing, from the page into three-dimensional reality. Act on the ideas in the plan. The plan is the mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are the wherewithal to transduce it from the paper or the page into three-dimensional space. That's the action part. You do the action in accordance with the plan. Again, Venus and Serena, blah, blah. You act on the plan, it's going to come through by the grace of Allah, by the permission of Allah, but you got to act on it. Have a plan and act on it. That's the law in creation. If stuff ain't happening, it's probably because we don't have a plan, and if we do have a plan, if the plan is any good, maybe that we're not acting on the plan. But if we are acting on a good plan and things are not coming through, maybe it's not time yet. And if we act on a good plan, it doesn't come through, maybe Allah doesn't intend for it to happen right now. So it's like, then you just carry on, and, leaving it with God in terms of His will, right? But you never stop, you never lose faith in it, and you adjust accordingly. That's also called for in our lives. Sometimes, I had planned to do it this way. Okay, well, that's not working. Okay, well, do it another way. You can keep the same goal, but you might need to adjust your plan a bit. And that's what happens, right? So, alhamdulillah.
Yeah,
so you write
like what you said, faith in action. Slow it down, faith in action. I love that phrase when you gave that to us.
Allahu Akbar. All right, Dante, thank you.
All right, assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. My brother Imam Askia, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Fahim. Alhamdulillah, very much appreciate the sharing and appreciate that shared by our dear brother in the Philadelphia, Virginia area. But Imam, I can't help but be reminded of the significance of what is being shared in the time that we're living in. Is this being in that day of judgment, of standing, and seeing what Allah has given our community to share with the world, and in the light of what is happening and the questions that are coming forward, and the Quran being the answer in the sense of who's reading and how they're reading. And I know that's saying a lot. You're addressing it. You understand it. I don't mean to be too abstract with it, but that this environment with the things that is in the media, who are the people of God, who are the people of religion, and having the answers Allah has blessed us to have now after the Imam has taught us so well. I just appreciate the school and learning environment you contribute to, and also other students of Imam Muhammad, and it lets us know we have, the Imam said, we can't stop now. So appreciate your work, brother Imam. I conclude.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. All right, thank you, Imam. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know, with you, we cannot stop now. So we carry on. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum. That little fly in my face right now. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Ismail. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. To you and the class.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very powerful Juma. I really appreciate that. And I was doing some studying the other day, and I came across a word I hadn't heard, cosmogony. Heard of cosmology.
Yes, yes.
But cosmogony, the branch that deals with the origin of the universe and other things. I'm like, man, okay, that's right on point. And,
yep.
And you were talking about about the faith in action. And also reminds me that science and faith, you know, they belong together. And
yes.
I come across I was looking at Facebook and somebody had put a quote of the Imam up, and he was saying that the human intellect and the universe are made for one another. One is made for the other. I'm like, man, this is all coming together. And the last thing you were talking about, Adam forgets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the stages of children, and you talked about it a lot. But part of that stage, and you may have touched on it, is that from 0 to 7, they're like in the dream-like state, like a dream world where nothing really is making sense yet. And they say so many times, parents they break the will of the child at that age because they don't understand that the child doesn't have that continuity yet in their brain.
Yeah,
and they're just looking at the wheel.
Yeah,
and it made me think about when you talked about Adam. At that point of stage, in my thinking, when we think about Adam and what he was going through, it reminds me of that stage, that 0 through 7 stage of when the child is becoming, and they're just trying to, you know, understand their wheel and learn their wheel, where they're saying no to me. And all of that just, you know, all that coming together. So I appreciate this kutbah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. That's very important. Alhamdulillah. And that, you know, the symmetry, the continuity, and the fit for Al-Islam and nature. That's, you know, it's in the title for our way of life, Deen al-Fitr. Anyway, we are, as Muslims in Al-Islam, like, I'm thinking about, you know, like an automobile or some kind of a piece of equipment that you bought, you know, and let's go ahead and take it as something that's already assembled. We don't even talk about at this moment about assembling something, you know, because you buy something and you get the assembly instructions and then you have all the pieces and then you put the pieces together. But I'm talking about you get a device and the device is already ready, operative. Let's just call it, let's make it an electronic device. All you have to plug it up. And then you look at the manual, and then the manual points out to you the different buttons and the different apparatus of the equipment itself, and it just tells you how to use it, right? Well, that's really how we are, an analogy for how we are in the nature of reality. You know, the universe is a mechanism. My body is a mechanism in that concrete sense. And then Allah is revealed, and this mechanism that we are in the universe, that it is, both of these have their evolutionary history, right? Meaning that Big Bang and then whatever, wherever we are and however long it took for the universe to get to where it is right now, fine. Then inside of that, as the universe progressed, we also progressed inside of the matter itself, that is our bodies particularly. But then again, the body carrying that pattern, and I think I'm going to go ahead and read this paragraph from the Imam that elaborates in the clear way that he does of what we're saying. And So then now, at our age, whenever Al-Islam reaches us, you know, just think about, okay, first you were not a Muslim, if that's the case. First you were not a Muslim, and then at some point in time, the knowledge of Al-Islam reached you, and you say, yeah, I want that, right? And so then you embrace that Al-Islam. Now what you have in your hand, what we have in our hand, is the manual. You have the manual. You have the Quran, you have the life model of Prophet Muhammad, et cetera. You have the manual. For what? For the two mechanisms. One, his you as a mechanism. Then Allah describing to us that mechanism that we call the universe. And then God is helping us to understand, now here's your connection with the universe. Here's your connection with the universe. And he describes it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pure, perfect, most high, he describes it as his favor. I've completed for you your way of life and have preferred for you Al-Islam. I have completed my favor upon you. Slow down, Fahim. I have perfected for you. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum. I have perfected for you your way of life. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat. And I have completed my favor to you, wa raditu lakum al-islam, and I have preferred for you al-islam as a way of life. So here, this is the beautiful, well, I mean, many, many beautiful things, but as Imam Askia was saying, speaking about this time that we're in right now, man, it's like, it's a blessing to be alive right now. It is. It's a blessing. Because we are getting the blessing of the fruit of Allah's original qada, his original decree. It's like we are at the outer end of Allah's decree when he said, "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa." That was the beginning. نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٌ خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And then all that took place over millions of years. I'm telling you, from نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, millions, likely trillions, right? Let me just see something. Let me see. I'm Googling. Y'all can do it. You can probably do it faster because you got more freedom than me. But I'm going to go ahead and Google it where it says, how old, I'm asking, how old is, uh-oh, I spilled water on my computer. Hold up. I don't want to kill it. How old is the universe? How old is the universe? One says, how old is the universe thought to be? Yeah, I thought it was 13.7 billion years old, right? That's what Sheikh Google says. The universe is 13.7 billion. So the Nafsun Wahida was before this material universe that they got this number for, right? 13.7 billion. All right? And so everything that has happened to get us here, so it's like all of that transpired before that. Now, okay. Let's stay with this. Question. When was the first Homo sapien? Of the first Homo sapien, 300,000 years ago. The first. That's not the Homo sapien sapien. That's another question. Let me go ahead and put that in there. So they said the first Homo sapien, that is the quote-unquote, the modern human being. When I say the modern human meaning, not much more evolution has taken place on this structure since the fossil findings of 300,000 years ago. So this Homo sapien, but Homo sapien has much more to do with the thinking creature. But Homo sapien sapien is the creature that has metacognition, the creature that's able to think about his thinking. Now, so the numbers get a little more fuzzy there, and they say that Homo sapien, like remember now, just stay with the numbers, Homo sapien, the erect thinking creature, 300,000 years ago, Okay, how old is the universe? 13.7 billion years ago, right? I won't do the math. You do the math. Okay, so you get, so 13 billion, put that away. Then you got 700 million, right? And then you got to move up 400,000 to get to 300,000 to say this is the first fossil record that we can see of the Homo sapiens, right? And now you got to move forward. Now they have the numbers between 160,000 and 90,000 years ago, all right, that you get the Homo sapiens sapiens, the creature that can think about its thinking, right, the metacognitive creature, right? And there's so many things that you study and that are studied inside and within that. You talk about literacy, you talk about numeracy, and you talk about all of those things. You can type in the question, when was fire discovered? When was the wheel invented? Da, da, da. All those things to talk about the developments that took place in this human being to come to where we are, to come to where we are right now. That being said, we know Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, 1,444 or 45 years ago, lunar years. Let's just round it off, 1,400 years ago. Just round it off. 1,400 years ago, the Quran was revealed. And the Quran, alhamdulillah, rabbilah. And the last of that revelation, the last of that revelation is the Creator saying, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمة ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Creator of all, everything we're talking about, his plan working all the way through those 13.7 billion years using the scientific calculation for the age of the universe. And now we live in a time, we don't live in 400 years ago, we don't live 800 years ago, we don't live 1,000 years ago, we live right now. After God completed the way of life, perfected it, and then he blessed those who will receive it. Now let me tell you what all this is about. God. I mean, to live now and to have been favored with that, you know, there's a, you know, Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, he said of himself, he's not a mean guy. I don't take him as a mean guy. But he says, like, he won the genetic lottery or something like that. Being said, he was a white male, in whatever, in America or something like that. He wasn't being Trumpish or anything like that. It's like, you know, wherever it was and whenever it was, he's just saying how lucky he was. It's like people talk about his great skill, capacity, predictions for wealth and blah, blah. And he said, no, I just got lucky. I won that lottery, right? And he acknowledged the, dare I say, privileges that comes along with the lottery that he won. And I'm not mad at it. I'm not going to get distracted because the universe is mine as a mutual inheritance, a shared inheritance for all humanity in the creation itself and its assets and benefits and rewards and blessings, et cetera, if for anybody who accesses them, and it's especially for those who do so in service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like to get caught up on the race piece, or even get caught up on the religious piece, you know, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. Stay on God's plan. Stay on your focus. Your power is in your connection with what God has revealed about your nature and about the nature of creation and the proper leveraging of that understanding. You'll get those things that you pine for from whoever and that others have. You don't even need to worry about it. Get on God's plan, and you're going to be just fine. All right. So that being said, coming back to being blessed to be existing in this time and to be a Muslim, right? And to be able to see and understand things like plan it, and to know what that means and know how to use creation-supported social logic, et cetera, to be blessed to come up into a way of thinking that enables you to make utility out of what's already here and present in the language system. And there is a blessing of being here in America and being a Bilalian in America. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. You could truly be somewhere else, okay? And it's not, you know, going too far over there in terms of that. Listen, so this idea that we are at the end of the time, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how close are we to the end of time? The Prophet said that the angel that blows the horn for the end of time, he has turned his head, and the angel has turned his head and placed his mouth on the mouthpiece. Oh, man. These are the last days. These are, but the universe has been around 13.7 billion years, according to scientific calculation. We've only been around here for 300,000 years as Homo sapiens. Right, and then this 160 to 90,000 for Homo sapiens sapiens, right? So, and then Allah has sent the last revelation and the last prophet. It's already been done. So the 124,000 prophets, messengers, I believe it's prophets is the name. You have to look that up. But nevertheless, the prophet is the last of whatever the long line of prophets have been. Prophet Muhammad was the last. The last revelation has come. The perfect way of life is here. If you've been blessed to receive it, we are at, how long is it? Who knows? It may be another 14 billion years. It won't matter. When we pass from this world, it's going to be bang, bang. Okay, look. It's serious, but I find joy in talking about it. So when I giggle a little bit, laugh a little bit, I'm not taking it lightly at all. I'm enjoying the blessing. I'm enjoying the blessing of, like, man, you talk about winning a lottery. Now, that's the one to win, to understand what's going on right now and where we are and to live inside of that, no matter how short this life is. And it's short. But to know that the eternity is after this life, and to know that you've been told that what Allah has on reserve for his believers, the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man to conceive of what awaits. This ain't it. This ain't it. This world. But to be blessed to know that, listen, this is how you need to live. This is, I'm saying, that moment right there, it's not telling you to listen to me. I'm telling you that this is what God is telling us. He's saying, listen, this life is short. Live it this way, and then you're going to have the best here, and then in the eternity that's coming, you can't even imagine in this world what's coming. This is going to be over soon. So live in this world, Prophet Muhammad said. Live in this world like a traveler, and you're just passing through. The prophet said, I'm just a traveler. I stopped under a tree. Soon I'll gather my belongings and move on. That's this life. That's this life. We're all gonna go. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us, by his grace, what we need to have the best life here and to build. And this is what you do in this life as well. You build your life that comes after this life. You build it with this life. Now, see, now, even that starts sounding like a repeat of Nafsun Wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha. You have in yourself the potential to create your life that comes after. But you have to use the life that you have here to abstract from your faith in action and your faith and action in this world to build the life that comes hereafter. So how do you want to live after this life is over? It's going to be over. We don't know when for us individually. Okay, so how you want to live after it's done? Okay, well, you got to start building it now. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this life is the tillage, meaning it's the soil. This life is the tillage of the next life. It's the soil that the next life is built out of. He says, sow well here, meaning sow like you're sowing seeds, right? Sow well here that you may reap well there. So the life hereafter is cultivated in this life, and you and I are the farmer. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. So now you can even take another take on that. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. Now you can take it like, what am I causing to grow? The life of paradise that I want to have in the life hereafter. Blessed is he that causes it to grow, the one who causes the life that he wants to see in the life that, and she wants to see in the life that comes hereafter. Well, you start growing it here. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. It's like, you know, it's like failure in salat and failure in zakat and failure in those practices, fasting, etc. You're failing yourself. You're failing yourself. You're not growing your life that's to come hereafter. Like, you know, then what becomes the meaning of whatever, specifically material, because this life's material gravity causes us to fail. Mostly it's material failure. Oh, the money. Here you go. Ask for some money. The greatest value of your wealth is to give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the metaphysical reality of this world is like God says, you will never be impoverished by giving charity. You'll never become impoverished. And the way to multiply is by giving it away. But see, you got to believe, you know. And that's just for this side. I'm saying, you do that in this world, and then it grows in this world, right? But the bigger growth out of what you do in this world is the growth that's happening in the life for you in the life that comes hereafter. See, all this takes faith. All this says, do you believe that? Excuse me. I did what I could to try to protect myself. I guess I'm talking much more than I expected. In any case, so that's the blessed situation that we're in. And I mean, it's very important if we can just understand the logic of our way of life. Right? When we say the logic, don't just think in terms of Aristotelian, you know, categorical thinking, blah blah blah. No, I'm just saying it's like this is how it works. Logic. Logic in the language of Imam Wahidi Muhammad, it means the behavioral expectation. When you use logic in the context of the language of Imam Wahidi Muhammad, logic means the behavioral expectation. So when I say we have to follow the logic of the religion, then that means fulfill the behavioral expectation of the religion. The religion expects you to behave this way, that way, this way, that way. And where did religion come from? It came from the creator of the heavens and earth. Why did it come from the creator of the heavens and earth? As a favor to those who believe, right? And so, okay, he gave it to you as a favor, but after that, now you have to act on it. You have to follow its logic. It's really, really is pure idiocy. It's like somebody giving you a check. They give you a check, and the check definitely has the value because you see who the signer on the check is, right? You know who the signer on the check is, right? So you got a check from Allah, and it's signed by Allah, and you ain't going to take it to the bank? You're not going to deposit it? The check is good. The check is good. You're not going to cash it? You can only cash it in this world.
I don't know. That might be enough for one day, inshallah. Allahu alam. Alhamdulillah. I'm going to acknowledge some comments here, as we normally do. We move on. Alhamdulillah, shukran. Alhamdulillah. That beautiful voice that you all hear when you listen to our broadcast, the adhan that begins, is this brother right here, Rashad Omar Shaheed. He's also the creator of the Hifaz game. You need to get that. And several other things, actually. I could say a lot of things about him. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah, we witnessed a miracle and masterwork in yesterday. And alhamdulillah, and thank you so much to mankind. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Praise be to Allah for your consistency and the great fruit off of that family tree. His wife, Amina Latifa Shaheed, has been my assistant for definitely more than 30 years. I'm comfortable saying 35, but I think I lost for probably almost 40, actually. I became imam in 82, and it's been 40 years since. Yeah, so about 40 years. I think she's the only assistant I've had in my administration. I thank Allah. And so community service, so many great things come out of that family. We thank Allah. May Allah continue to protect and guide and bless them. Now, Sharifa Hassan Bey, assalamu alaikum to you as well. All right, you know what? We're going to call it a day. It is what it is. And inshallah, we'll be together, inshallah, next time. Sunday. Oh, a clear understanding, the private session. You all have a session tomorrow. Yeah, I'm pretty sure tomorrow. And others will expect to see us at 12 o'clock. I'll see you in the Zoom session. That's separate and apart, not a public matter. All right. Allah's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.